Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, the music's back.
I think we're going to talk about some serious stuff.
Look at this graphic.
Always.
Looks like we're in a noir film. We got some serious music going on, but...
That was a mood.
The mood is set. This is Monday. I wrote it down. This is Monday. I don't know the exact date, but this is the A-Side Live Chat. I am, of course, Jose Youngs at MAFighting.com. Joining us this week, someone that the comment section has been asking for ever since she made her debut all the way back in Houston, I believe it was in February, Alex Savas, a.k.a. Cool Alex, the Cool Alex of MMAfighting.com, joining us alongside who we like to call the other Alex, Alex Kaylee. So I'll start with Cool Alex because she is the guest of honor this week. Alex, what's life been like in quarantine and how's the move to Los Angeles, man?
So far, so good. We moved in the middle of all of this, which was weird because honestly, like, the part that everyone's really freaked out about is like flying. But there were like 8 people on our flight, and I think that's the fewest amount of people I've been around in public. So I feel like the airplane was actually like the safest place to be. So far, so good. LA is very hot. We're in the valley, so we're cooking. But I'm loving it. Chicago came from Chicago, in case you don't know. It's freaking freezing all the time. So. Happy to be here.
And other Alex, not that anyone cares, but how's life with you?
Oh.
First of all,
I take it back, Alex. I care very much.
No. Keep that energy. First of all, let me say this. I had a clause. I want everyone to thank me who's watching the show today. Everyone involved with the show today. Everyone watching the show. I want everyone to thank me that I'm even here because I had a clause in my contract that I would not work directly with Alex Savas. Now, I guess it's a loophole because we're not in the same room. So I guess I don't have a lot of – I've spoken to my lawyers. We're working on it. But right now, apparently, I have no grounds to object to this broadcast. I am here because I am a professional. I am happy to work with the Savas dragon over here. And, that's what I have to say on camera. But I'm ready to go. Let's put all this animosity aside. Let's try and work together. Let's try – just put on a good show.
I agree.
I like your shirt, by the way, Alex. 10 out of 10. Dressing to impress. Me and Alex look like we're about to go rob a bank. You actually come professional. Casey, man behind the camera, how's life with you?
Yeah.
Also murdered out this morning.
Huh?
Also murdered out this morning, all black.
Yeah. Well, brown. It's a nice brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. Webcams. Yeah. What do you got? Quarantine. Everything's dumb.
For those of you that obviously don't know because you weren't there, but before we signed on, Casey was serenading us with some Rodgers and Hammerstein, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a little Oklahoma. Yeah, it was jamming out. It's a good jam. You should blast it.
It's all right, I guess.
Yeah. You guys suck.
I know.
MMA fans do not understand what good musicals are. Oh, Esther is coming to yell at me.
No.
Fix my hair?
Yeah.
What a good wife.
Aw.
Living the dream. Can't hate it. Anyway, but as all you guys know, this is not our podcast. It's your podcast. You can leave a question on Twitter. You can use hashtag the A-side, or you can just respond to the tweets in question that you all love to do. You can leave a question on the site. Or you can just drop it in the YouTube comments because Casey is always on board to throw up your lovely, lovely comments. I don't think we have anyone from – no one from the Crystal Crew besides me this week. Alex is a – other Alex is a staunch opponent of the Crystal Crew. Alex, I don't know – cool Alex, I don't know your stance on Crystals, but No Crystal Crew this week. I'm sorry, everyone. I have to fly the flag solo. But Casey, first question from our lovely listeners.
Let's do it. You know what? Let's get a YouTube question. Actually, this one's kind of pertinent to us. Oops. There we go.
Will MMA Fighting be doing a live weigh-in stream for UFC 249 from Maria Gronin? Well, I can assure you, if we're there and we're able to do it, then I'm sure we'll figure something out. For those of you who don't know, UFC 249 is taking place in Jacksonville, Florida. It's also, I believe, it's the 9th, 13th, and 16th. It's like three events in 1 week. According to Dana White's IG story or IG Live, I can't remember, whatever it was, I think 10 media members are going, like 10 total. So I would imagine the selection process, the screen process is still going on. I don't know how many of us will be able to go, if any. I'm sure they'll be very, again, selective with who they want to send. But if we're even able to be in the same room as the official Lions, I'm sure we do something, right, guys?
If the UFC gives us the green light to go to the event, mm-hmm. we're journalists. That's what we do, and we'll cover the event. Regardless of, regardless of our opinions on if the event should be happening. But I think as journalists, we want to go and cover the event because it's news. So mm-hmm. Right now, we're just in a holding pattern. We haven't found out yet. So
is the expectation that if you're able to go to 249, you're basically stay for the week for the other two events? Is that what you guys would
I assume.
But that would suck to fly all the way back for like one day.
Yeah.
But the assumption is right now there's only three events, right? Three events, right? That's it. Nothing.
It's three events in a week, and then there's like rumored fights like in June later on. But the three in question that week are the three in 1 week, starting with UFC 249 and the two title fights. But when Guilherme was in Brasilia for the UFC Brasilia card, they didn't even let people into the official weigh-ins, right?
No, everything was at a hotel, the fighter hotel, right, which is a few miles away.
So even if we're there, there's not even a guarantee that we'll even be able to shoot the official weigh-in process, because when this fight was going to take place in Fresno at Tachi Pass, or what? Not Fresno. Where was it, Casey? I know it's the Fresno area.
Lynmore.
Beautiful Lynmore. At Tachi Palace. We were all talking like, we can't plan for this like a normal fight week. There's going to be no open workouts. There's going to be no media day. We probably won't be able to go to official weigh-in. I doubt there's going to be ceremonial weigh-ins. It's pretty much you go to cover the fights and pretty much nothing else. There's no fight week. It'd be like going to like the Super Bowl and not doing media, just going to the game. So it's for all these like what's meet fight week going to be like, it's uncharted water. But it's go ahead.
But I'm sorry, imagine like Super Bowl with like no big national anthem, no halftime show, no fans, obviously, no media week.
It's just literally a
game that looks like any other game.
In a practice field. In a stadium. It's on a high school field with metal bleachers.
Yeah.
I think Guilherme he was there in Brasilia for the last UFC card. I think if you really look at what he was able to do, I imagine it's something similar. But it's uncharted waters, to say the least. So I don't know. If we're able to, we'll do it.
Alex?
Did Alex freeze? I like your lower thirds, by the way, Casey.
That was the default. It came with the computer.
Alex is frozen. Can't hear or see you. For those of you that listen to this after the facts, because of course this is broadcast live on YouTube. Other Alex K. Lee is frozen.
I'm sorry, guys, I'm having some connection issues.
Oh no.
My apologies. Hold on, I'm back.
Are you back, Alex?
Back. Hold on, am I back?
Are
now?
Are you frozen?
Sorry, guys. I don't know. I think I'm popping in and out.
What were you saying before you unceremoniously got frozen?
Yes, before my internet broke. I couldn't make out a lot of what you guys are saying, but I know your answer is more pertinent to being there on site because you guys do a lot of that coverage live. I'm more of a house mouse. I'm up in Canada. I'll occasionally cover stuff, obviously, in Toronto, Vancouver, things like that. So it's not much an issue for me. I am hoping that the UFC – this is just in regards to the original question, like the live stream – will there be a live stream of the weigh-ins? I'm hoping the UFC – presents kind of a more comprehensive live stream sort of coverage on their own this time. They normally don't stream the morning weigh-ins on their own channel, but again, these are kind of different circumstances. So I would hope that they would at least give outlets that option, kind of help outlets out, give us that link so we can see that. And then maybe we can still provide some live commentary, because I love weigh-ins. People know me. I love me some weigh-ins. So I hope we have that option.
You and the two Alexes love the official weigh-ins.
It's like your favorite. It's the best. I know. I look forward to early morning weigh-ins every time.
Go ahead.
The last one we did with when Casey and Esther whipped together that, God, that seems so long ago. The Israel Adesanya Romero fight card when they had that excellent new display that was wildly popular, and everyone was like, I hope we see this moving forward. And little did we know that we probably want to see it for quite a while.
Nothing makes me happier than Heidi, the UFC's Heidi, calling people baby. I don't know why. It just puts a smile on my face. And I imagine as a fighter, it's quite a thrill. So yeah, hopefully we still get to see that. Because ceremonials are fine. I think ceremonials are cool. But you've kind of seen one ceremonial, you've seen them all. Unless you know there's some really really crazy quote or shenanigans at the end. But the open the morning ones, like the actual wins, are always. Gosh, these days there's always something weird happening. So I do hope we get a live stream of that in some form, whether again it's from us or the UFC provides it itself somehow.
I kind of like the fight night weigh-ins they've been doing lately, where they do the face-offs right after the official weigh-ins. They don't wait. Like I know in Brazil they usually have the ceremonial weigh-ins way later again, but like when we were in Denver or when I did the Milwaukee one was a Fox card, so they did the big ones. But like for these smaller fight night cards, they do the official face-offs right after the official weigh-ins, and there's no ceremonial. Kind of like that. Kind of packed. We don't have to leave, kill time, and then go back to and wait again. It's all right there. We're all set up. But Casey, next question.
No problem. Oh, wait, other Alex, can I get your best Heidi Dean impression? Thank you, baby. Can I get one?
I am so worried about offending anyone, but I will. I'll do it for the. Like I said, I'll do it for the show. It's in my contract. So she would go like 5 seconds. 5 seconds. Okay, thank you, baby. Heidi, I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
That was so good. I wasn't expecting it to be that good.
I was right on. That was good, huh?
I was expecting you to just say the words. Wow, that was 10 out of 10, Alex.
I apologize to everyone.
I look on his private YouTube channel. It's just tributes to Heidi. That's all it is.
I've been working on this impression. That was not the first time.
Thank you for your question, Maria. From Valentino Saifedin Tarhan. I apologize again. You ask a lot of great questions. I can never get your name right. What's your number one dream matchup in the future? Habib versus Tony, not included. Hashtag the A-side. Well, first, props to Valentino for actually giving Habib top billing. I know that seemed like every question last week was Tony v. Habib. Champion gets top billing, folks. So cool, Alex. I'll start with you. What's your number one dream matchup in the future?
Well, if we're just going to play dream matchups, I guess we're going cross-promotional for me. So I'd like to see a Cyborg-Amanda rematch. And then if we're talking strictly UFC, I'd like to see Shevchenko and Amanda again.
Yes.
I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, Amanda's great. I love Amanda. But I really do think if Cyborg and Amanda go at it again, we have a potential to see a different result.
Yeah, it seems like all these fights where it's like that fight reminds me of like the Conor fight or the Masvidal, like the Conor Aldo fight or the Masvidal Askren fight, where yeah, like there's clearly a winner, the other one got knocked dead, but if they run it back, the first fight was so quick it could have a different answer. Like it's that question. I think someone asked Stephen Thompson, like if you knock someone out, if someone knocks you out cold, does that actually answer questions as opposed to just beating someone down for 15 or 25 minutes? Is really a clear-cut winner. So I would love everything about Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. I still think those are the best two greatest female fighters of all time. And Ronda, I think it's those three Valentinas right there. But I don't know how long, if that's ever possible, but Amanda Valentina is something that we have been waiting for. I think Valentina won the second fight. But that's just me. Other Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll say I think the best case scenario for those kinds of rematches where one guy gets, you know, supposedly definitively finished in the first fight and then they fight again, Aldo and Mendez, Chad Mendez, there was like a little bit of controversy with the first fight, kind of like a cage grab or whatever.
It wasn't really a cage grab.
Yeah, and it ended very quickly. And then they fought again. The second fight was a freaking classic. So for sure, rematches like can absolutely be dream matches because, I think like we do really feel like we didn't get that full Nunez Cyborg experience. As far as my dream match, I really Ryan Hall versus anyone, and I'm not just saying this to make our man on the ones and twos Casey happy. I know we're part of the Ryan Hall mutual admiration club, but Ryan Hall's just so exciting. It's so hard to get him a fight, and I know why. I don't blame anyone for not wanting to fight him. He's not just going to beat you; he really is going to make you look bad, and not even just like in an embarrassing way, but like make a bad fight, possibly put a bad fight in your resume. And I say this with affection for Ryan Hall, because I think his style, everything he does, is just mesmerizing. So Ryan Hall versus anyone, specifically, like, I was just looking at this list, maybe like a Charles Oliveira. Like, that would be wild. I think there'd be quite a bit of a size difference, but and Charles definitely strikes a bit more these days, but if he like decided to go to the ground with Ryan Hall, that would be something special.
I think the dream matchup for Ryan Hall is the one Casey's been calling for forever. Jeremy Stephens v. Ryan Hall. Just a clash of not just playing styles, but completely different personalities. So Casey's dream matchups that in the future.
Jeremy Stephens would hate that.
No,
he would hate that.
But I want to see a full-on, like, you know, like a countdown show, like three episodes of prime time of Ryan Hall and Jeremy Stephens getting ready for this one. Just random fight night card, and having face off and multi-city tour, having face off in all the major cities across the world.
Was Ryan Hall supposed to fight Ricardo Lamas? That fight?
I never saw that fight get rebooked, so I don't know. I'm very bummed.
Casey, what's your dream matchup for the future outside of Ryan Hall v. Jeremy Stephens?
As much as I hate the trash talk online, so I just think it's boring. I want to see John Jones versus Izzy.
Yeah.
Ooh. I want to see it. I want to see it. That's all. I don't like it at 205. I would hope it could be like at 200. I don't know if Jones can do that healthy. But if it's at 205, at 205.
I bet he could. He weighs in, like, lately he's been weighing in at like 203, 204 a lot. And it's not like he's super healthy on, like, he's all joking and laughing and dancing on the scale. So I bet he could do it.
Yeah. And yeah.
You guys got to go the other way with it. You guys got to go. I want to talk about the heavyweight talk. I want, you know, Izzy saying he would chase him out to heavyweight. I want him going in there with like the little bellies. You know what I mean? The little weight class up bellies that guys get. That's what is Izzy versus Bones fight that I want.
But I do like what Cool Alex said. I really do want to see Amanda Nunes and Cyborg rematch. I think that would be because like I've never thought of MMA as a one for one sport. You know, like football is. I think of MMA as more of like a 3 out of 5. I think that's between high level guys.
Three out of five.
Yeah, between high level men and women. I think that's what MMA because. MMA, like, it's just how it is. It's just a sport where, like,
usually 2 out of 3 in MMA. Boxing can go all the way up to 5, but MMA we don't really. Once, how many fights have we seen that's been more than Rampage Vanderlei's? What 2 and 2? I think. What I can't think of anything else that's. Yeah, and both that spot. Many times. I don't remember.
I just, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, whatever. I just think MMA isn't really a one for one sport. So that's why I really want to see them run it back. But
Pitbull and Stress.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's back when times. Seemed like the same 3 or 4 fighters were all like Pat Curran v. Pitbull, and then all of a sudden Curran v. Strauss, and then Strauss.
They kind of had no choice,
Venom Page for Stylebender would be awesome. It freaking would be, but that's two different weight classes. MVP is a tall welterweight, so he could definitely fight at 185. I would love everything about that fight. I've interviewed Michael Venom Page and asked him about the comparisons, and he is a massive fan of Stylebender. But he said his favorite fighter to watch was Robert Whittaker. Michael Venom Page actually picked Whittaker to beat Stylebender back then, so sorry about it.
That's a good example of Casey's point. I mean, Whittaker, knowing what we know now about where he was mentally in the Adesanya fight, he said he wasn't himself. Yeah. He didn't look like himself. Like, I want to see that get run back because I picked Whittaker as well. That's my guy. So
I picked Whitaker too. I think I was, because Casey was there with Petey and Esther. I wasn't there on site, so I was watching, and a few people came over to watch the pay-per-view, and every single person picked Robert Whitaker to win. I did not watch a single. Everyone in the room I was in thought Whitaker would win, and by the time the fight ended, they were all huge marks for Stylebender. Like that like swayed them to be big fans.
This guy picked Izzy. I picked yes. Adesanya.
AK Lee picked.
Just so you know, it's on the site. It's on the record. It's on the site.
Well, my answer has been the same answer for the last 5 years, and that is the Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega. I called for that fight after Brian Ortega beat Moicano back in Anaheim. I'm still waiting for that fight. The fact that it fell – I found out – everyone knows the story. I found out that their fight fell off through Twitter because people were sending me, are you okay? Like, do you need someone a shoulder to cry on when that fight fell out? So I'm still waiting on that fight. It's only added more drama now. I wish it was did happen in Seoul or wherever the first fight was, South Korea. But just give me 5 rounds between Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega. That's all I ask for. I don't care if there's any fights the rest of the year. I want that fight so bad. Thanks for the question, Valentino. The Seaside, the one bout you're looking forward to the most. So I assume this is the opposite kind of style, where what fight that's actually booked are you most looking forward to? I started with Cool Alex last time. I'll start with All or Alex this time. What fight are you most looking forward to that's actually booked?
Now, again, we have a few cards. Like we said, we have those three cards in May coming up. I'm just looking at the new UFC 249, the May 9th show. I kind of like Fabricio Werdum and Alexei Olenek. If I'm just dipping into the prelims here, there's a lot of great main card stuff as well. But that's a matchup that I think a lot of people on paper thought was like really interesting, because again, we all know Werdum, you know, one of the greatest, you know, grapplers in MMA history, maybe the greatest jiu-jitsu heavyweight, of course, with apologies to Big Nog. But Verdum's right up there. But then you have that Olenek again. This is almost like the story about the Ryan Hall thing before. Like, he just has such a specialized skill. And you do wonder if it came down skill for skill, you know, can you imagine if he submitted Werdum? So that's a super exciting thing for me. Like, I think there could be some striking as well, but that is almost like the heavyweight version of seeing Ryan Hall go at someone is Alexei Olenek and Fabricio Werdum. So that's strangely from that card, that's the one besides Ferguson Gaethje. That's the one that I'm really, really, really intrigued by.
Cool, Alex. What booked fight are you most looking forward to?
I got to represent women's MMA here, or as we like to call it, MMA, tell your friends.
There you go.
Carla Esparza, Michelle Waterson, I think is going to be a good time. I think Michelle was close to making a run for the title, and then, you know, coming off a recent loss, like, I'd like to see her get back on a win streak and really run for it. So I don't know how that one plays out. I think Carla's wrestling is going to be an interesting matchup for her, but it's the only women's MMA fight on the card, so.
Two former Invicta champs. That's I can't believe that fight hasn't happened. Like, Michelle Waterson's had a lot of these fights lately where I can't, like, when she fought Felice Herrig, I think it was 229, I'm like, I swear they fought before. I feel like those two have been around for so long. And Esparza and Michelle Waterson is similar. Like, I couldn't believe they hadn't fought. Two people I think are, like, Michelle Waterson is former atomweight champion. Carla Esparza is definitely should be an atomweight. So it's like two atomweights not cutting weight fighting in the UFC, in my mind. Casey, your thoughts?
The fight I'm looking most forward to, actually is still, and this is under the assumption that both guys are fully trained and proper healthy weight cuts, is actually just still Ferguson Gaethje. I love that fight. I love Gaethje versus just in any of the top five lightweights going head to head. Those are just, that's just awesome. So why not? And I think Gaethje's gonna win. So I just love seeing the chaos. What's gonna happen after if Gaethje wins? And if Ferguson somehow wins, are we like
somehow? Like, there's a big chance he wins.
I think Gaethje wins. I think it's a horrible matchup for Ferguson.
But, I think he's the worst matchup for anyone in the division. But
yeah,
I think Ferguson is a crazy man.
Yeah. but the thing is, like, if Ferguson can actually beat Gaethje, like, I want to see it though, because I can't see it in my head, you know. But obviously he can beat him. I mean, there's a lot of ways to beat Gaethje. I just want to see it, and I just, so in my head, I just, you know, those fights you just go, you know, at nighttime, you're gonna, before you fall asleep, you just kind of think of fights and you just kind of imagine what's going on, what could happen. And it just goes so many different ways, that fight. And every single way is exciting. So I'm just super looking forward to that fight.
Outside of that one,
I will say that Gaethje, before his first loss, he did, though, have a little bit of an aura of, even though he got hit a lot, he did have an aura of, like, I have no idea how anyone is going to beat this guy. And I've seen him lose twice, so now we do, like, I think Casey was kind of, we do kind of know the board. And I think I actually did expect Alvarez to beat him, but I was also, but it was almost like a coin toss pick. I was like, I think Alvarez is going to do it because I think he's more experienced or something, but I couldn't actually envision how it was going to happen. So that's the intrigue of Gaethje, Joe, is, and I know why you like him over Ferguson too, is he does seem unbeatable at times, right? I mean, I guess you could say that about any fighter when they're at their best, but him in particular, his ability to absorb damage, his ability to dish out damage so quickly, that I kind of understand why Casey is so, like, it's so locked in on Gaethje beating Ferguson. I'm leaning the other way, Jose, but I do know where Casey's coming from.
I mean, I think Justin Gaethje could very well be the uncrowned champion. I think he is the worst matchup, like, not just for Tony, but he is a way worse matchup for Khabib. Like, because we've said it a million times, like, Justin Gaethje has some elite level wrestling that he doesn't really use at all. But it's not like Romero, where he just kind of waits and then explodes. Like, he puts you through a wood chipper and then you just die from wood chipper when he doesn't even pull out the wrestling from his back pocket. So, and who did he's lost to Poirier and he's lost to Eddie. The Poirier fight was weird. I was there for that. Two epic fights, a lot of eye pokes, or low blows. I can't remember which one it was in that Poirier fight. There are a lot of pauses on the main, and then the Eddie Alvarez fight was a 3-round fight. I wish that was a 5-round fight because they might have approached it differently. But outside of that fight, outside of the Carlos Barros and Michelle Waterson fight, I always like watching Dominic Cruz fight. I just wish he was fighting Frankie Edgar and not Henry Cejudo. I don't want to use the word deserved. There are other people that should have got the title shot over him, but that's over here. Big fan of Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa. I interviewed Charles Rosa after his Boston fight, and he said he has the best jiu-jitsu in the entire featherweight division. Black belt, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, down at ATT. He even called out, he wanted to fight Chrome Gracie just to prove a point. Matches up with Bryce Mitchell, undefeated, coming off his big twister win, which I know we all agree should probably not have been the submission of the year, but nonetheless it was on MMAfighting.com. So I think that's a very underrated. Bryce Mitchell could very well get his first ever loss. He was also, we made that graphic over which undefeated fighter would be the next UFC champion. And it was like, at the time, Reyes, Sugar Sean, Edmund Shabazzian, Jairzinho, Tatiana Suarez. It was like a graphic. Bryce Mitchell was very upset that we did not put him on the graphic. He said, This guy right here. And then, so have my eye on that one because he called out the site and more specifically me because I'm the one that made the graphic.
Oh, no. I was about to throw Alex Savas under the bus. Come on.
No, it was me. No.
Darn it.
I think I'm going to throw you under the bus because you thought, you confused Edmund Shabazzian with someone else. Oh, yeah. You were like,
no, I don't. Corey
Sandhagen.
Next question. Casey, next question. I think we have another question. I don't recall. But actually, I do want to say, you mentioned Cejudo and Cruz. Am I the only one who's like talking myself into Cruz beating him? Maybe I've been watching too many interviews.
Oh, no. I think Cruz can totally beat Cejudo. I just don't think he deserves a shot. But he can obviously, he can clearly beat him. I'll probably pick Cruz when it comes down to it.
I don't know. Cruz has already shown ring rust is not, like, doesn't really affect him like a normal human being. Like, he had that long layoff, and then his fight against T.J. Dillashaw is one of the best fights I've ever witnessed live. It wasn't a bloodbath, per se, like all the Justin Gaethje fights that we were talking about, or the Tony Ferguson
fight. Oh, the fight in Boston.
That fight was awesome. That fight, like, I could watch that fight 1,000. That's like a fight, if I have a new fan that's never watched MMA, they just want to see high-level technical footwork and striking, that's the fight I show them. That's one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. So now it's after another long layoff.
Did you score it for Cruz, that fight? That fight was super close.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I remember that fight ending, and I was sitting next to one of the beat writers in Boston, and he's like, neither of us knew who won that fight. That was a coin flip toss.
That's what I mean. I guess when I say MMA isn't a one-for-one sport, like, that's what I mean. Like I think they fight 10 times, they split it 5 out of 5, you know? So I'm just want to see more. All right, next question.
Thank you, the Seaside, for your loyal listening. Tony V. Justin, here we go. From Trumbo on the site, where are Justin's opportunities to win this fight? Big punch early. Tony is hittable early. Leg kicks. Will he finally show his wrestling? Tony has shown some weaknesses from the bottom versus Lee. Well, didn't he submit Kevin Lee from the bottom? So, like, even though he's in, Kevin Lee said that he got beat up, like, the worst damage he got in that fight was when he was on top, because Tony was just cutting him up from the bottom. Case, we'll start with you this time. I start with the other, the Alex and Alex, the last two questions. Where does Justin Gaethje win this fight? You're the one that seems pretty adamant that he has a really good shot of winning.
I just think he just wins it with his hands. I think it's just leg kick, hands, legs, kicks of his boxing and his, and, you know, his leg kicks. I just think, I don't think Tony's going to be able to get him down. He's not going to be, he's, and like, he, Tony's Lava's game, especially the early rounds, he really, relies heavily on his, just basically his toughness. And I don't think anyone's tough enough to get through Gaethje if you go for him punch for punch. And yeah, I just think, I think it's Gaethje's fight to take. And oh, and I actually, man, I would, if actually Gaethje can really implement leg kicks against Tony, I really want to see it. Just because I love seeing death by leg kicks. I think that's like,
oh my God, like,
it's just, cause it's so, people like body shots, but I'm like, oh, leg kicks, those are the ones that just I don't know, they're just so cruel.
I was at, like, I was talking with our former coworker Sean Alshadi, and we were like, because Justin Gaethje has a ton of fights in Arizona, so like we were looking back at all the crazy fights that we had attended back on the regional scene with him. We were both at his fight against his fights against Luis Palomino, where he just, those are two of the greatest fights I've ever seen in ever UFC non-MMA. But that Brian Foster fight, when he defended his title against Brian Foster, Jesus Christ, he just beat the soul out of his legs with a metal pipe until Foster's just fell apart. So, yeah, you're not wrong on that. Cool Alex, how does Justin beat Tony?
Okay, I guess I'll preface this by saying, I guess I need a disclaimer. Do I think Justin Gaethje is a tough son of a bitch? Yes, of course. But I think if Justin were to win this, it would be by incompetent judging. So.
Interesting. Would you care to expand on the notion?
I just think Tony wins this, and I think if it goes five rounds, I think if Tony's gonna lose, it's gonna be because he got, you know, robbed on the scorecards. I really don't think that this is gonna go five rounds, and I think it's gonna go Tony's way.
By how? Submission? Well, wait for that until we're at fight week. We have don't give a prediction yet. Other Alex, how does Justin Gaethje win?
When you said cool Alex before, I almost jumped in. I was like, oh, okay, fine. For the purposes of this show, just to save confusion, fine. I'm just cool Alex.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I hope there's controversy. That's some juicy robbery review material for me to plug my own feature. If you guys anyone watching, check out the site. I'm doing retro reviews of fights that are supposedly robberies. I'm actually not a reviewer in a believer in the term robbery, but we'll see if Alex Savas is right about what happens with Gaethje and Ferguson. I can't imagine it going the distance. We say that about a lot of fights, of course. That
I believe you said that about a fight between Nikita Krylov and Johnny Walker, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't you hate how he remembers everything? Isn't that, like, really so good. Annoying?
He's a steel trap. He's sharp. He's sharp as a whip. I'll give him that. That's on the website too. Gosh, that's really, I don't want to look back on that. That prediction's up there. I mean, I'm leaning towards Ferguson too for some reason, but it's weird. It's like all the points that Casey brought up and all the points that are kind of suggested in this question are just like completely accurate. Like I really don't know. If you look at the Alvarez, I loved the Alvarez Gaethje fight, by the way. And I love Alvarez had just the perfect game plan, executed it so well. You really have to treat Gaethje like a bull. And we really don't know if Ferguson can do that. I think he's adaptable. I think he's more adaptable than people think. I know he's so intense, and I know he's always bringing the fight to everyone. So we kind of see him as having like one speed. I really believe in this situation, he'll at least have adapted a little bit. I'm not saying he'll change his style completely. I think he'll be able to adapt enough to avoid the worst of it early on anyway, and then at some point finish in the third or fourth round, something like that. But yeah, I'm leaning towards Ferguson. I just haven't quite formulated a compelling argument why.
Well, let's not forget Tony Ferguson also cut down to 155 like a week ago, maybe like less, like, and now he's gonna do it again, like real quick turnaround. Like, everyone was talking about how badass and cool and mentally strong. Like, that's back-to-back weight cuts to 155 to make championship weight for 2 5-round fights against two drastically different people. I am curious to see how that will affect Tony Ferguson's body. Like, I know he's mentally there, but, like, will his body be able to go back-to-back weight cuts and fight, again, Justin Gaethje, a.k.a. the human wood chipper? But we'll find out in Jacksonville. Hopefully one of us is there. Yes. Casey, next question. Question from Robin G87. UFC events without public and media? As UFC events will be without public until further notice. Did you guys already hear if this will also mean media is not invited except for some ESPN personnel? Since all gatherings before and after fight are probably not doable with the state rules and you'll not be able to see it in the arena live, are you going to Florida? We answered this earlier on, Robin G87. If we're there, we imagine it'll be one, maybe two. I can't imagine they'll let three of us go, considering I think Dana White said if it was 10, right? I'm not making that number up. He said 10 media members total. I was told that by a few people, but I didn't actually see the video. So there's 10 people, it'll be selected process. So if we're invited, we'll be there. Who will be there? I am not sure. But yeah. We're going to do everything.
Don't be surprised. I'll tell Bill, don't be surprised or disappointed if you don't see some of your favorite faces from MMA fighting there, because they really, like, again, people are asking questions about the media. We don't even know what kind of, like, what their staff is going to look like. We don't know what the coaching situation is. Are the fighters able to bring all their coaches? Just from a personnel and staff standpoint and everything, even taking into account, oh, there's no fans. We don't know how much limitations there are for everyone as far as who they're allowed to bring, what they're allowed to bring. Because you got to imagine, it's going to be so restricted. And for them to have the normal amount of media they have, again, we know they won't, but to even come close to that would add to the really add to the numbers, get to the limit of what they're where they're supposed to be at. So, kind of just to follow up on that question and the first question that was asked, it's really hard to tell. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was mostly in-house people. We said ESPN for sure, most likely, and like a few select other names. So, hopefully, fingers crossed, you see some was there.
And you'd have to wonder if some media members just wouldn't want to go, or they would be maybe they have a situation at home that they would like. We had Anthony Walker on Friday, and he obviously has a newborn, and he said like 3-4 years ago he's on the first plane to Florida. Now that he's a dad, he has to step back and evaluate the situation. I know none of us have kids on this site, but I would imagine having a child is an eye-opening experience. So maybe someone, or even the Joe Lozon when he was on, Calvin was fighting, and a couple other, Calvin Cater was fighting, a couple other fighters had like fights coming up, and his wife is like an ER like nurse or doctor, I can't remember which one, and he's like, well, I have to think if someone there is sick and I get sick and I give it to her and then she brings them to the hospital, it's like it's situations outside of fighting that you have to take into account too. So I would have to imagine maybe some medias have to evaluate their home situation too before they make that decision. But I don't want to speak for anyone.
It's asking a lot to not even tell people ahead of time what the precautions are going to be. Is there going to be testing? Is there any of this? Like, to keep that completely in the dark at this point, like, that's asking a lot of your media, the people that keep you in the public eye. I don't know.
So you're saying, like, when I did the reaction show with Mike Heck, that Dana White should have just come out and been transparent, right? And just said, this is what I'm doing, rather than don't worry about it?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I just want to know, like, before they even announced the venue, they were like, fighters are going to show up to this airport and then be escorted off to some other undisclosed location. And it's like, if I'm a fighter, I'm like, yo, this sounds sketchy as hell. Like, I don't even know if I want to do that. And then, like, the media to be doing it who aren't getting even paid. I know fighters don't get paid that much either, but, like, it's a lot.
It is absurd. Mike, you guys did that great reaction video. Mike Chiappetta, our own Mike Chiappetta, also wrote a great article over the weekend, sort of addressing the same thing, Dana White's transparency. It is absurd that people are still pushing this, oh, he's not telling the media because the media is going to do the kind of reporting that's going to lead to this event getting shut down. This is insane, okay? First of all, we have to ask those questions. They're relevant not just to us, but to the fighter. Do you not want the fighters to be informed? Because I can tell you right now, there's a lot of fighters who are in the same situation that we are. They don't know what the hell is going on in Jacksonville as far as COVID-19 testing goes. Like, the lack of information is not helping anyone. Lack of information is not going to increase or decrease the likelihood of an event going on. So people just really use critical thinking. Okay, there's a reason we ask these questions, and you should want to know. People who don't want to know is just shocking to me. I know ignorance is bliss is the old adage, but holy crap, people, just bear with us. We really want to get this information, not just for you, but for the fighters and for everyone else, and of course for ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of these questions will be answered if someone's actually there in person. So we will do our best if we are able to go. And if not, you can, of course, expect great coverage from us remotely. But Casey, next question.
Yeah. Oh, I want to add, I really want to find out if UFC 249 happens, are they going to have ring card girls? Because in Brazil, the last UFC event with no fans there, and they said only essential staff at the event, they had ring card girls. I just thought that was amazing.
Them how is that not around, essential?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the connection here. I don't know what are you trying to.
Casey, you're the odd man out. It's an
holding
essential,
big card numbers to show all the fans what round it is. I thought it was. Just,
I don't know how else we're supposed to know the rounds.
That's all I know, Casey.
I thought it was amazing.
How? What? Do you watch? You look at the numbers on the screen. You don't look at the ring girl's number.
Yeah, I thought it was. I just.
Are you saying the UFC should fire all the ring girls? That's really.
Whoa. Yeah. Casey.
Got him. What a sport.
I caught it a sport.
Thank you for the question, Robin G87 from IA6710 on Twitter. If US fighters can only fight each other as with internationals, which champs are likely to benefit the most from that? So I assume this question is saying if US based fighters cannot face international based fighters for the foreseeable future, which champion benefits the most? Other Alex, I'll start with you. Which champion will benefit the most from not having to face international competition?
I assume the question also meant, and also if international fighters are limited in like not being able to fight U.S. guys. Is that part of the question too, sort of?
I'm not quite sure. It was a very he made internationals like plural, like it was it was like a descriptive thing. So I'm not quite sure, but answer how you seem fit.
Yeah, my first thought when I saw that was like Khabib. Like if he's limited from traveling out of Russia and people can't get into Russia, obviously that's a huge swath of lightweight contenders that will limit his options. Now, again, there's also Fight Island is in the works, supposed to be ready by the summer. And I assume the concept is that it's easier for it will be easier for international fighters to go there. And also U.S. fighters to go there. So maybe it won't be as much of a benefit. But if he's just restricted to fighting other internationals, which, by the way, is a wide, wide range of people and various travel restrictions. So it's kind of a strange question. I would say Khabib, just because there's a lot of names right at the top that we can kind of say like, oh, well, he wouldn't be able to fight Ferguson or Gaethje or anyone if he can't get out of Russia. But really, nobody, I would say no champion benefits from it from a career standpoint. I mean, you want to be able to fight as many big names as you can. And this really puts a damper on that.
Well, looking at the champs that are US based, like Usman, I guess the top five in the welterweight are all in the US, aren't they? Because looking at
is Leon Edwards in the top five? He might be the only non-US.
Yeah, close enough. Right.
Close
but
enough.
You could do Woodley, you could do Covington, you could do Masvidal.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert Burns in Florida. Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise, Volkanovski's kind of in the same boat then. As Khabib, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Izzy.
Izzy. I would say I'm going to carry the flag for Pete Carroll because he's not here, and I know he would be upset that no one brought it up. The one who benefits the most is Henry Cejudo because he won't get to fight Peter Yan because I know Pete Carroll flies that flag like no one else. He has declared him the uncrowned champion. So Peter Yan is upset about the matchmaking between Cruz and Cejudo, supposedly still fighting Marlon Moraes at a future date. Obviously, what was it going to be? Kazakhstan? Somewhere over there? So he's not fighting him in Kazakhstan. He's fighting him wherever they put it. But the fact that Henry Cejudo gets to dodge that bullet will probably benefit him in the long run. According to Pete Carroll, what I imagine PC would be saying.
Can you do a Pete Carroll impression at all?
Nope. I'm not even going to try.
Can you put your leg over your head?
Well, you see, he's from Dublin, and my family is from Westmeath, so that's just mixing vinegar and water right there. You know, I don't have to tell you that though. Anyway, next question, Casey. And no, I cannot put my foot over my head. I am confident when saying I am the least flexible person on the entire site.
All right, let me go to some of our YouTube comments. Oops, let me fix that.
Two piece and no Bizwit. Should the UFC make a Fight Island championship belt? Why
That's
not?
A great right. idea.
They have a BMF belt.
Oh, yeah.
Why not, man? Or a woman. I don't know. I don't want to assume. But who knows? Why not? They're fighting on the beach. There's going to be no fans anyway. Fight Island, Dana White has dashed our dreams of making this an annual thing. He said that he'll probably retire Fight Island once the pandemic is – we're past the pandemic, whenever that is. But, hell, why not? Have a new championship belt with palm trees and all that kind of fun stuff on the front.
I mean, if your champs can't fight anyone outside of their home country, it doesn't make any sense to even, like, continue stuff the way that it is. Let's just throw everything.
Hey, why not just make a Fight Island championship crown? Let's do that instead. I'd be all in favor of a crown or a sash or a ring. Why does that have to be a belt?
A golden lay, like a golden lay or something.
Why not?
Go ahead, excuse me.
No, they absolutely should make a Fight Island belt. It's not a should. It's just like, the question is like, how awesome should this belt look? You know, that's the question. Of course. And like Dana says, you know, after the pandemic's over, this pandemic ain't gonna be over for a while, people. This Fight Island's gonna be around for a while. Like, the world ain't gonna be normal for a long while, especially with them reopening things. Like, they've already said that they think, well, we're gonna reopen economies, so all that's gonna happen is we're gonna have just more waves. So it's just gonna kind of continue until the winter. You know, when we have to hit flu season again, we'll probably be on the lockdown again. So we'll have Fight Island reopening up off and on. So, Fight Island belt, crown, sash, corsage.
Scepter.
Scepter. I'm down. Yeah. And get rid of the cage. Just like fight. Get rid of the cage. Just put, you know, just do a Twitter poll, you know, pick some fans, and they're the kind of the walls, you know, just, you know, everyone holds up their iPhone.
Push them back.
Yeah, everyone just push them back. Don't have any cameramen, just have all iPhones, and then we'll just, you know, collect all the footage, and we'll just, you know, just everyone just hold the cameras, you know, just basically it's just watch a World Star video.
What was that wrestling show you and I went to in Vegas, Casey?
Oh, Suburban Fight, yeah.
Yeah, just do a Suburban Fight style. If anyone doesn't know what that is, go watch it. It's literally just a wrestling match in a restaurant, and the entire venue is like the ring. So it's just people getting out of the way as people wrestle in front of them. So I am all in favor of a Suburban Fight style UFC fight.
I want like a Big Brother situation on Fight Island. Like, throw all the fighters on there. We've got cameras everywhere. Like, watching everybody, what everybody's doing. It's going to be like a reality show. Like, I want to be able to just, like, tune in and see what's going on Fight Island.
I think Casey wants a Terrace House style UFC event.
Oh, no. You guys are this is dangerously close to my patented idea. So just be careful of the Ultimate Fighter meets Paradise Hotel. Paradise. Like, I won't go into detail further. I'll just say that I was asked a long time ago how to save the Ultimate Fighter, and I said Paradise Fighter. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. I won't go into detail. This is a PG show, but I'll just say that was I agree. The island gives a lot of possibilities for kind of creating an enhanced UFC reality TV product. I'm totally in favor of the belts. I'm in favor of more trinkets and trophies and rewards and things in MMA as it is, whatever it be, like pride style, you know, a big Grand Prix trophy thing. Because again, I haven't said this in a while because on the show, but look, MMA is supposed to be fun. You know, this is my mantra. MMA is supposed to be fun. I know people are like, oh, belts are supposed to mean something. And I'm like, guys, belts are props. They're very cool and certainly meaningful for the fighters. I would never take that away. They definitely represent something, but they're also props created by a promotion for promotional purposes. And you had to keep that in mind. So I was all for the BMF belt. I'm all for the Fight Island belt. More belts the merrier. Get a year-end championship belt, whatever, anything. Just Ryan Hall belts, you know, get his own belt because he's Ryan Hall. Anything like that. I said, bring it on.
It's like achievements in video games. Just keep unlocking more and more things. Yes. Alex, you're the cool Alex. You're my the only person I know that watches it, like every single reality show. What's that new weird one on Netflix that's all popular all of a sudden?
Oh, are we talking Too Hot to Handle?
I guess so.
You guys have to watch this. Netflix's reality game is so strong lately. Like, they call this like the trifecta. It's The Circle, and then Love is Blind, and then Too Hot to Handle. So basically, they took a bunch of like 20-somethings, threw them on an island, and told them there would be no contact, no physical touching at all. And every time they did, they would lose money from the big pot of $100,000 that they had to start with. You'd think it wouldn't be that hard to go a month, but these people could not.
They did a reality show based on no touching?
Yes.
So basically they just live like our lives, I guess. You just can't touch other people.
Yeah, I guess. But they were also in Mexico. Flowing, I guess.
Okay. So not Terrace House.
You know, I just don't like The Ultimate Fighter as a product. But really, in reality, this is actually a great time to bring it back. You know, just a social distance. They live in a house, but they can't, I don't know, just there's a lot of stupid things they can do right now, and we're living a stupid world, so this is time to put all the stupid together and just whatever. This is just The Ultimate Fighter.
Whatever.
That's where we're at. I mean, this is, I mean, what do we don't know what's going to happen next week.
What was Bellator's version? Fight Master?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Joe Riggs.
And then he came back and fought, I think it was Ben Saunders and the Phoenix card, the Stipe JDS one, and he like dislocated his shoulder like within 5 seconds. Why I remember that is beyond me. But Casey, next question. I know we're running up on time.
All right. Well, we got a lot of comments.
Jessica Crystal Crew on YouTube. Love is Blind was amazing. I've been trying not to watch Too Hot to Handle, but maybe I have to now.
You have to. It's trash. It's trash at its finest.
If anyone has any reality show-based questions, we will save them for when Cool Alex is on, because I know nothing, and she's the only one I know that watches all of them.
Oh, wait. Oop. Why are those overlapping? Hold on.
From Maria Gronin again. The new Ultimate Fighter season should have cameras in the house.
There you go.
/ gym, just like Big Brother, and no camera crew. Is that what Big Brother is? I've watched 0 seconds of Big Brother my entire life. That's just a bunch of people living in a glass house, right?
Basically, and the cameras are on all the time. I mean, if you want to watch Big Brother, it's like a 24-hour commitment to keep up with everything that happens.
Wasn't Chuck Liddell on a season? That's my
celebrity one. Yeah, he did not do well.
I would imagine. That is the extent of my knowledge of Big Brother. It's trash.
That's true.
From our own Esther Lynn, quote: "It's trash."
I mean that in the best way.
John Le Juin. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. I apologize. Great idea to have more belts. Why don't we make more sanctioning bodies and have super and silver and Mayan champions?
Yes. I think this person's being facetious, but I love what like the WBC does, like the Cinco de Mayo belts or whatever. I'm like, yes. Give us, I want a Christmas belt. I want like a Halloween title. Oh. You kidding me?
It looks like a jack-o'-lantern. No, it's just a crystallized jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, exactly. Or a mask. A golden mask.
I'm still waiting on scepters. Or like Max Holloway wants, like rings. That'd be fun too.
Yes.
Do you remember the money belt that
I do.
That Floyd Mayweather got? Well, yeah, Maybach. Yeah, Maybach. The money belt.
Oh, it was made of like alligators. It was made of like python or something crazy like that. Like the actual like the actual leather was like python, and it had like an insane amount of jewels and diamonds and everything.
I heard it was made from the tears of boxing media.
Probably.
All right.
Can I pull something from the comments? Just I'm not going to read the whole question, but I see something in the YouTube comments that needs to be addressed. May I?
Go for it.
Please.
You know I like to go rogue. There's a guy in the comments. I'm not even going to try and read his name. It's gibberish. He says, you realize that belts represent the epitome of the sport, right? Listen, if you've been watching if you've been watching the UFC, I don't care if this person cussed me out in the comments. I deserve it. If you've been watching the UFC for the last like 3 or 4 years or 5 years or 6, I don't know, for the last decade, and seeing how they handle the title picture situation, and you still think that it's the belts that are representing the epitome of the sport and necessarily who is the best guy in the division. Not to discredit any of the guys who won it, because it definitely, if you're up there, you're at least top three, top five, and you've worked to get there. But if you think they're the epitome of the sport, my friend, you are sadly mistaken, and you need to stop listening to everything that Dana White tells you, all right? Again, respect to everyone who's won titles. Ooh, it's an amazing achievement to have. But let me tell you, someone like Tony Ferguson, if he never wins an undisputed belt, let me tell you something. It will affect him financially. I don't think it should affect him in anyone's eyes as far as like, oh, is he one of the greatest? Like, I shudder to think someone writing a think piece like 2 years from now, was Tony Ferguson never won the big one? Was he? Yeah, Tony Ferguson is like either the one or two greatest lightweight of all time. I don't care that he only won an interim belt. The wins aren't what matter. Not necessarily the belts. Guys, come on. Wake up. What's going on here? I'm sorry. I'm getting fired up. It's Alex Savage's fault.
Dude, I'm with you. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. That's true. The championship fights are decided just on butts and seats right now. It has nothing to do with, you know, the best guy versus the best guy. It's like, okay, who's gonna sell the most pay per views? Who's gonna put the most butts in seats? Well, that used to be a thing, but not anymore.
That's why it feels weird when we actually get a champion fighting like their actual number one contender. Like, to me, that has become an anomaly. Like, when Max Holloway fought Brian Ortega, there wasn't an argument that Brian Ortega wasn't was the next guy up. Like, he was easily the number one contender, and Max fought him in Toronto. Same as when he fought Volkanovski. Same as when John Jones is doing right now. Like, for all the nonsense John Jones has been getting off out of the octagon, fighting Anthony Smith, fighting Thiago Santos, fighting Dominic Reyes, like, seems like an anomaly in these days where he's fighting the next man up. He's not chasing these big giant super fights. So
super fights are kind of gone for John in terms of 205.
Super fights are gone for John until he fights Israel Adesanya in 2021. But Izzy's doing that same thing now too. He's like, Paulo Costa's next. I want to fight. Like, Romero wasn't the most deserving, but we all know if Paulo Costa was healthy, that fight would have been that would have been the fight, not Romero. And I don't see anyone complaining that Romero got the fight, similar to like Aldo and Cruz is now. But yes, fighting number contenders has become an anomaly in 2020, and I wish it would go back to the old ways. But that is another conversation. Any other questions, Casey? Beep, bop, boop, yeah. From the question machine.
You guys see any good ones in the comments?
I do not have the comments pulled up. Other Alex is the one that usually... Oh, yeah.
Here's the epitome one. I just saw it now.
if anyone out there thinks that a fighter would... let me put it this way. Find me a fighter who would choose between every fight. Let's say, here's your contract. You're the champion. You get the title belt and $500,000 every fight, or you get $1 million every fight. I almost guarantee you every fighter would just take $1 million. And as they should. Because, again, it's both a direct indication of their worth, and it's $1 million compared to half that. So people just put it in that perspective, all right?
Well said, Alex.
I'm fired up.
Before Maymac, who was the Mayweather? Not Roger Mayweather. Who's the other Mayweather? He's a coach.
Floyd Sr.?
No. He coached like King Mo. He's done an MMA. He's coaching. I can't remember. He's one of the Mayweather. Coaches. And we interviewed him, and basically was with Ariel, and Ariel asked him, why is this fight happening? And he just looked at Ariel. He goes, that's a stupid question. He's like, money. It's like, well, what about legacy? This doesn't help, you know, this doesn't help Floyd's legacy. And he was all like, does legacy pay for college? Does legacy pay rent? Does legacy buy all those cars outside? You know, he's like, no, money does. And like, it's like, yeah, and this reminds me of the whole belt thing. The belts are only worth anything if they bring money for prize money.
Yes.
This is, people want to call this a sport. They want to call it mixed martial arts. They want to call it UFC. It is prize fighting. You fight for money. You know, and that's what the game is about. That's what this is about. So that's what kind of, even during this whole pandemic, I kind of got annoyed at fighters a bit when they kept saying, fighters have to fight, fighters have to fight. Like, no, just be upfront. Say, I got shit to pay for. I need to make money. I make money by fighting. Let me make my money. And I totally respect that and get that. But don't give me the whole fighters in your fight. Because you can meet up and fight anytime. There's backyards. There's flip phones. Just record it. Throw it on Twitter. You can fight anytime. Fighting is still there for everyone. Fighting for money, though, that's another story. And so that's why the belts are not the epitome. of this
sport. Jeff Mayweather.
Jeff, there you go. Thank you.
Yes. Correct.
And that is why Chael Sonnen might not have been the most talented mixed martial artist, but he is one of the five greatest prize fighters who's ever lived. Like, yep, you dating back to like his fight against like Nate Marquardt, and from that point on was a who's who. Like, fights Anderson, fights Jones, fights Fedor, Rampage, like talks, uses, yes, he might not have won most of these, but he was either main event or co-main event against champions or former champions every single time. So yeah, not the most talented fighter, one of the five greatest prize fighters I've ever seen. Same as Askren. Like, Askren was a phenomenal prize fighter. Might not be the most talented fighter, but you wanted to watch him fight regardless, and that was the point. That was the absolute point of it. And I think Conor McGregor is like when both of those just combine. And Izzy, the same thing. Phenomenal prize fighter, phenomenal fist fighter. And that's why people gravitate to them so much.
Yeah, like I say, someone like Conor, for me, he's not a top five lightweight, but he is without a doubt
greatest prize fighter in MMA ever.
He's up top. He's probably already top five as far as greatest prize fighters in combat sports already, I think. That's debatable, but you know, but he's in his short amount of time, he's already up there as far as the greatest prize fighters in all combat sports and mixed martial arts. Easily, like, I don't think anyone out there right now will ever be a better prize fighter than Conor McGregor is right now. No. That person doesn't exist right now.
I'm going to just extend the olive branch to this guy who made this comment, I'll try to say his name now because I'm out of respect. Gypsy Ya 2-0. He did say one thing I agree with. He said the title fight should be the $1 million fight. And I think on that, I think he or she and I definitely agree.
Well, what sticks out in my mind is when I brought up Max Holloway, where he's fighting all these number one contenders, that during that era, like that quote unquote golden era of MMA where Conor was like at the height of his popularity and everyone's getting these money fight, and Max Holloway just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning and winning, and people are saying like, how come you're not asking for these fights? And he said, you win enough, you just become the money fight. I don't have to ask for it. And I liked that very much. Question from Frank Frankfurter. Esther Lynn brought this question to attend. Over under 20 UFC events this year. Cool, Alex, I'll start with you. Over under 20 total UFC events this year.
If UFC 249 happens on May 9th, then I'm going to go over. If it doesn't, I'm going to say under.
Ooh. Other Alex?
That was such a good logical answer. I'm almost upset at – let's – boy, I mean, I have to say under. I'm not really sure. I really don't know what's going to go on with the Fight Island thing. They said ready by June, but they've also said a lot of things about the events that were going to happen. We also thought we were going to have an event on April 18th, and that didn't happen. So under seems like the safe bet. Let's say if they manage no more than, let's say they do three events in May, and then after that, no more than two events a year. My math's a little shaky. I think we're okay. No, that might put it over. I'll say it's not. They don't do two events a month though, so I'll go under still.
Casey, over under 20 UFC events this year.
If they have, if 249 actually goes off, they'll have 20 events by like in 3 months, because they'll be.
Oh, I thought 20 more. Sorry, I thought 20 more events.
But well, no. They'll be running three events a week, because I feel the UFC is gonna be like, let's get as much content in the bank before everything goes to crap again.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. But so I would say over.
I'm going to say exactly 20. Yeah. I'm going to say exactly 20. I'm going to take the easy way out. 20 on the dot. I think I said it when I did the reaction video with Mike Heck. They want to cram all these fights in immediately because, like we've said ad nauseum, one day feels like a week. And for all we know, in 2 weeks from now, the world could look completely different. So I wonder if they want to cram these three events in real quickly. And then I don't think they do that going forward. I think they want to see how it handles. Another question from Darren.
It's going to be a last question. Last question.
Since there's no commission to oversee Fight Island, will the UFC be able to play around with the scoring system and try to come up with something new? I doubt it, but I love new weird things. I'd love for them to bring back Pride Rules, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want, but they won't. How often does the UFC change anything? I mean, there's so many. I mean, just look at how long it took them to bring the hoop out for men at the weigh-ins.
Like, which why? Still isn't like they don't do that every time now. It's like every now and then.
And why are we still bringing a scale to ceremonial weigh-ins? Like, why are these things still happening? They just want to keep it the same forever and ever.
Let's get digital scales and let's get the hoop. Let's make it happen.
I agree with both you guys. The UFC is where you go to see the best fighters in the world, high production values, great access for fans and everything. It is not where you go for innovation, unfortunately. So, no, you will not see any changes in the score.
Let's get some fun entrances, too. I want to see someone come out, be carried like Tyson Fury, or dressed like Skeletor like Deontay Wilder. Is that it for questions, Casey?
I'm taking... Wait, hold on.
For people from Joseph Boza, does UFC or other MMA companies go after any fighters that were released from the PFL or just sitting on the sidelines waiting for 2021 to get here? Other Alex, I will start with you because you are the PFL master of this site. Would the UFC go after any PFL fighters that were released, in your opinion?
Pete C did a good interview with Griffin Boylan from Cage Warriors, yep. And Boylan said he kind of thinks there's not going to be a lot of big signings, just a lot of signings in general, I'm sorry, for the UFC right now, because their top priority is getting fights, putting events together, and then getting fights to the people on the roster that they have. So while it's always nice to add talent, I think they can afford to do it, I would be very surprised if they bring anyone in that was just recently released by the PFL. Sorry, none of the names are coming to my mind at the moment. I apologize for that. But I don't think there's anyone that they would necessarily feel like they have to get. They can always wait till next year. I imagine some of these fighters are probably still talking to the PFL about maybe coming back for the 2021 season. That's supposed to happen. But if they don't, then I think the UFC would take a look and say, okay, well, here's some guys we see with potential and we'll bring them in. And of course, there's always a contender series as well.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. There's not going to be, like Grand Boylan said it, I would imagine. And I think PC said it could benefit Cage Warriors somehow because less signings taken away from Cage Warriors and more spotlight on the European fighters, considering that might be the one-stop shop for a while for European MMA. Alex, anything else you want to say on people signing other non-UFC fighters to the UFC?
I think if I'm a PFL fighter that's on the sidelines until 2021, getting that stipend, I mean, I don't know how much the stipend is, but, and I'm looking at the way UFC handled things, the way Bellator handled things. Well, Bellator's fine, but, like, I might not leave. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of sitting pretty at this point, so.
I mean, Lance Palmer's, what was it? Lance Palmer has won two.
Multi-millionaire.
He's a multi-millionaire now after winning. And it's like, who's going to beat him in that division right now? Unless there's a crazy trade that's taken out of his hands. Someone once brought up, like, would you trade Anthony Pettis for Lance Palmer? I'd be like, probably. That'd be kind of a fun trade.
I want this to be our last one because I want to kind of
screenplay. Why do you seem to be happy with whatever the UFC feed you as the media? As the media, might you not champion innovation? I don't get you guys. Listen. I would
get him, Jose.
We're just being realistic. We're being realistic on what we've seen and what we know to be true based on what the UFC has done forever. The UFC doesn't innovate often, and when they do, it's not some mind-blowing thing. Like, yes, the move to early morning weigh-ins was great. That was like one of the last big ones I can really, really remember. But no, we don't go to the UFC for innovation because they are usually the ones that they figured out what they do, and they do it well, and what got them to the dance, and they stick to it. Other Alex or cool Alex or Casey, anything else you want to add to this?
I thought we made it pretty clear, but I guess not, so I'll just kind of lay it out black and white. We love innovation, would love to see things progress in favor of the fighters themselves, and the UFC does not do that. We would love it.
Yes, I will fly the innovation flag forever. I want... even the most basic thing, I want them to bring back, like, pride gloves so we're not getting as many eye pokes. There's an innovation right there, but that's not going to happen. I love how Bellator has two different colored gloves, one red and one blue, so it's not just the tape. Or Strikeforce did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm a mark for the Bellator and Strikeforce gloves. Other Alex, anything you want to add on this man saying we hate innovation?
I didn't even understand the question. Wait, this person is saying we argue against innovation? Like, that's – I don't know any media member who isn't – thank you. I don't know any media member who isn't constantly, like, suggesting little change or big changes that could be made and is, you know, has expressed how kind of fed up they are with the same product that we've been getting for the last, again, for the 10 years, 15 years. So it's a kind of a strange question. I don't appreciate the accusation, screen playa. I'm sorry that you don't get us, but I will say, for the most part, I think most of us are in favor of things that are new. If it seems like we're happy with whatever the UFC feeds us, I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of necessity. We have to cover what's there. It doesn't always do any good to say, oh, well, this could be better or this should be different. It's sometimes you just have to see what it is and write about it or cover it as what is given to you. But I wouldn't say we're necessarily always happy with getting the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I would say
your thoughts as the only man on this chat that was alive for when airplanes were invented. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Us not championing UFC, changing things around, is only out of frustration and just we're just tired of, you know, saying it. I mean,
if you want innovation,
go watch Ryzen. Go watch other promotions and stuff. That's Ryzen does a lot of amazing, innovative things. I'm sure there's other promotions. I just can't, like, even Bellator does. But when Bellator did the game show for the featherweight Grand Prix, that's innovation. And
awesome.
Loved it. So cool. I felt like the media overall loved it. I know the fans inside the forum at the time loved it. And so, no, we love innovation. So, keep changing shit. That's what the sport's about. It's supposed to keep growing.
Just having a Grand Prix in the UFC would be like a breath of fresh air. You know that's just never going to happen. But that's it for questions, everyone. I know we've run a little long on time. But of course, I'll start with Cool Alex since you are the guest of honor this week. I don't know where you are on my screen. But anything you want to add or say to the fans before we sign off on this Monday edition of the A-Side?
Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. Check it out. And then at me on Twitter.
Wow. Other Alex, anything you want to add?
I feel I've been a little more aggressive than usual today, so as my Canadian way, I will apologize to any fans for my behavior today. But I want to end on a positive note. I will say it was a pleasure getting to record a show with the macho woman, Alex Savas. I'll be honest with you. I am intimidated by you. Maybe that's why I feel so insecure. So I apologize. It's not you. It's me. I would gladly work with you again. I think I'm okay.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's so remote, really. I'm able to avoid it for the most part. But this will be good. My therapist will be really proud of me, I think. So
good.
Yeah. Casey, anything you want to add to our resident Rodgers and Hammerstein fan?
Absolutely zero. I have nothing to add. Just stay inside. Stop going to the beach. Just be safe. And let's get this world back to normal. And thank you so much for the questions on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Instagrams and TikTok and Friendster and LiveJournal and MySpace.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
You guys
are
great.
Casey, what was it like watching Sputnik Live?
Woo! No. Me and my ham radio.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, I'm Jose. That's Cool Alex. That's Other Alex. That's Casey. Cool Alex will be back in the future. I know the YouTube comments love when she's on. So, but until then, we're out. And are we?
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.